been going through our influence, and our influence is as salt and as light into the world. And as we've been looking at really our conversation, the righteousness of God imputed to us by faith, as someone shared earlier, I think maybe Cheryl had mentioned that, an imputed righteousness through faith in Christ Jesus. But as we've looked in Scripture, it's just not something we just talk about. I mean, it's just not something that is sort of this nebulous idea of righteousness, but it's worked out in our lives, in our conversation, in our words that we speak, in exceeding righteousness, and where a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit is on display for the world to see. Amen. That Christ has truly made us a new creation. And it's a visible thing, and it's just not something we talk about, imputed righteousness, but it's visible to the world. And through that, it makes room for really the most important thing about our walk with the Lord. And that's what I want to look at this morning. We've talked about our separation from the world. We've talked about the forgiveness demonstrated in the life of a believer, how that we've received that forgiveness, and then also we show that forgiveness as well. And also, you know, our conversation, our words, you know, our vocabulary has changed, right? Since we come to saving faith, we don't talk like we used to. There's been a change, and so that's on display for the world to see. But all that is in and of itself for a reason. It's for a purpose, and that is to make room for our message. It's not enough for the world just to look at us and say, "Well, they some fine folk, right? They're some good people. They must be just from some good stock, you know. They got good blood, right?" That's what old timers used to talk about, good blood and bad blood. Like, there was a difference. But they come from good blood. It's not enough for that. What we really want to do, and what our lives do, is to make room for the gospel of God. It makes room for a message, right? We've got something to say to the world. We've got something to say. We've got something. We've got a word that God has given us, and it's the same for every generation. It's the same for every time, every age, if you will. It's the gospel of Christ. It's summed up with that. It's the gospel. It's the life transforming truth that we have received and we have believed upon. As Corder was talking about that faith. And that we have believed a message that was given unto us. We understand and our response and our understanding to that word that's been given to us, mixed with faith, and it changes us for time and eternity, doesn't it? I like that phrase. I run across it sometime in reading and listening to different people preach talking about time and eternity. That this impacts eternity. And our eternity has been totally altered this morning because we have heard a message, because we have heard a word, and we have believed on that word, and because of that we have been changed. And so our message to the world is, it's you too can see that transformation take place. You too can respond to the gospel. I've told you to go to Romans 1. I might as well go ahead and read our text this morning. It's maybe on the screen already. I'll start with verse 15 there. I don't think I wrote that one down, but I'll start with verse 15 there of Romans chapter 1. And it says, "So as much as in me is," Paul speaking, of course, "I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also, or at Rome also. And here, as I begin to read this, you'll be familiar with this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in this gospel message, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, I didn't call Quarter this morning. He didn't call me. But we're talking about... Say that again. I didn't text Melody. I did not. I did not give her any. So as we think about faith this morning, and as Quarter has already shared with us what faith is, the definition of faith, we see here this morning that writer says, the just shall live by faith. And of course, this is an Old Testament concept coming from one of the minor prophets of the Old Testament scripture. And as we think about what that is today, what is it that we're putting our faith in? What is it that we're putting our trust in? It does matter, doesn't it? I know I've said it before, but you know, I see people today, they're going around with tattoos and signs and t-shirts that just simply say faith. That's all they say, just faith. As if faith in and of itself is enough. But it matters what we're putting our faith in, doesn't it? I mean, it matters if, first off, if what we're putting our faith in is true. Man, I want it to be true this morning. If there's going to be a life transformation that takes place, it can only take place through truth today. And as Paul makes this statement, it's really sort of an ending of an introductory statement here in the Romans chapter number 1. If you've gone through Romans and you've done any studying of it at all, we understand that Paul is really laying out that plan. He's given us what that gospel message is. And he lays it out so very well. That's why, you know, we've talked recently about that Roman road. That's why we can walk down that Roman road and show someone the way unto salvation. But as he ends this statement, I don't want to back up too far just for the sake of time, but he's really talking about in the middle of chapter 1, his own ministry. If you've read that, or, you know, you don't have to do it now just because, you can do this on your own, but if you back up just a few verses, you can see where, we can do it together here. He's talking about wanting to come to Rome. He's talking about wanting to, as he puts it, have some fruit in their life, or let's see if I can put my finger on the exact verse, but talking about coming to them that they might be edified, that they might be established, that they might be built up. Verse 11, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. So the apostle Paul here felt not out of arrogance, but just out of confidence in the message that he had and the gift that God had placed in his life. He knew that he could, if he come unto the Romans, he could add these Roman believers, these ones that had already believed, and he understood that he had something that he could impart to them that they may be established. Amen. How many is thankful for people that are established? That's really what we want here as much as anything in this congregation. We want our believers to be established, to be steadfast, to be unmovable, to not be quickly shaken. Amen. There's a whole lot out there in the world that can shake us. There's a lot out there that can rob our joy, that can take our peace from us. And so we want to make sure that we're established, that we're unmovable. As the song we used to sing, the old timers used to sing it when I was coming up, like a tree planted by the rivers of water, I shall not be moved. Amen. And so that was Paul's desire unto the Romans, that these Roman believers, that they would be established. He wanted to come to them that he might impart some spiritual gift. And from there, as he was talking about his ministry and how that his calling was Verse 14 talks about him being a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise, which meaning what there? It meant that, he had an obligation. I think that's a good word for that. That he had an obligation in his life to share this message. He had an obligation to bring this truth to all peoples, to Greeks alike and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, regardless of their credentials, regardless of how much influence they may have had in their society. Amen. How many knows this gospel isn't just for the rich and famous? Right? It's not just for those that are in seats of government. It is for those. But it's not just for those. It's not just for kings and princes. It's fit for them as well. But it's not just for them. As a matter of fact, Paul makes a point that there's actually few of those that will are called. Because of why? Because there's so much that stand in their way. The riches and matter of fact, it says he chose to reveal this unto babes and sucklings. He chose the ignorant things, or as Paul put it, no offense to any of you guys that are sitting here this morning, the foolish things of the world. Amen. Is it okay if we consider ourselves foolish in the sense that we knew nothing until Christ came into our life? Man, our IQ wasn't enough to bring about salvation. Our knowledge and the amount of literature maybe we've been exposed to was not enough. We had to receive the gospel. And so it's that Paul says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. And so he says that so as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel. Amen. I'm ready to preach the gospel. That's what his goal was. That's what his message was. He says, I've come to preach the gospel, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed. I'm overjoyed at the privilege of proclamation. I'm overjoyed this morning for this opportunity to stand before you and declare unto you the gospel. Amen. And I will say this, that every one of us here this morning that have received this message, we too are under compulsion. We too are under obligation. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Yeah, but you've received this truth. You've got this truth. God has put it in your heart, and he's put it in your heart to share it into the world. Amen. You're not just salt and light to this world just so they can look at your behavior and see your walk and talk to see about how moral you are or how, you know, pure you live. I mean, there's a lot of cults that offer morality. Amen. There's some religions out there that probably walk a little tighter than what Christians do. So if that's all we're coming to offer, there's other things that can offer that. There's other places that even come and say, well, we'll give you peace. If there's one thing that we're seeing in our day is people learning how to bring peace into their life. They learn how to meditate. They get over in a corner somewhere and begin to make little sounds and they say, I'm meditating, I'm finding my inner peace. And so if it's just peace we're saying, come and get, well, there's other methods that do that. But we're coming with the truth this morning. I mean, we're coming with the only remedy to man's sin. We haven't changed, have we? Man, they come in just like they came in 100 years ago. Children are born just like they were born. With the same package as they were. Nothing, it hasn't changed, right? Now I know it may, you know, some young parents today seem like they struggle a little bit. Jill and I were talking about this week. You know, seem like parents just kind of forgot how to raise kids. You don't believe me, go to Walmart. They just forgot. And it's no different. Now I know there's things that kids are exposed to today, but that starts after birth, right? They're coming into the world with the same package they had when your grandparents raised kids. when your mom took a switch to you. None of that has changed. That's all the same. But yet somehow, you know, we think, well, it's the same. Now, they're influenced with different things. And, you know, when we set them in front of some TV show and, you know, loud, obnoxious, and yeah, they're going to start to, I don't mean to digress. Let me get off of that. But we're basically the same, and so the remedy is the same. Amen? The Roman road is still the answer unto man's problems, right? Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. He was eager to preach Jesus. He was eager to preach the message. He wasn't hesitant in any way. He may have been imprisoned at Philippi. He may have been chased out of Thessalonica. He may have been, you know, smuggled out of Berea, and on it goes. When you look at all his struggles, laughed at maybe at Athens, mocked a little bit there from those eggheads there on that idol god temple, whatever it may have been, stoned in Galatia. But yet still he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. Now, when the scripture talks about being ashamed, so often it's, especially in the life of the apostle Paul, regardless of all that he went through, he says, I'm still eager to preach. And a lot of times when Paul talked about being ashamed, whether he was talking to Timothy or if he was talking to the believers there, or maybe one particular, was it Onesiphorus. That's close. Y'all don't know either, so don't look at me like that. Maybe you do. Onesiphorus. He says he wasn't ashamed of my chains. He told Timothy, don't be ashamed of my bonds. Don't be ashamed of the fact that I've been in prison. What was his message there? He said, listen, I know you're seeing the chains. I know you're seeing a bondage, and you're thinking, is this what the gospel brings? And, you know, in the life of the apostle Paul, yeah, it did bring that. But he says, don't be ashamed, because I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. There's power in the gospel. Now, there's also some chains. It's unsafe. How many knows we're not called to be safe? I mentioned last week, I like to listen to Dennis Prager, and I was listening to him, and he has this thing about, he hates it when people says, when he's leaving, be safe. You don't like that. I used to use that. I don't use it anymore. Dennis Prager talked me out of it. Why? Because he's saying, life ain't safe. I was reading a book this week about leadership, and one of the phrases in it talks about ships. It says the safest place for a ship is in the harbor. But ships weren't made for the harbor. I mean, the safest place for a Christian is for us to keep our mouth closed. But we weren't made for that purpose. Amen. We were made to declare this truth. We were given a message. And so Paul was excited about the opportunity to share the gospel. When given a chance, when given an open door, he spoke boldly. He opened his mouth and declared the truth of God. He would face anybody, anytime, and preach Jesus Christ unto the world. There was no fear in this man, in the sense of him being being ashamed of the gospel. He wouldn't corrupt the message to fit someone's, you know, feelings. He wouldn't change it. He wouldn't accommodate it to man. He just simply preached the truth of the gospel. So where did Paul get this boldness from? What was the key to his courage? He said, the key to my courage is because of this. I know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. He was confident of what the gospel could do. It is the power. It's the same word that we used. We looked at it not long ago when we were talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, or the Holy Ghost, talking about it being dunamis, the power. Right? You shall receive power. You shall receive dunamis. We get our word dynamite from. And so as we look at this with respect to the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power. You shall receive strength. You shall receive might, wonder, working. It's a miraculous word. A miraculous word. the gospel can bring about the miraculous. The gospel preached can bring about a miraculous change. It is the power of God, Paul says. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is wonder-working power. It is mighty-working power, miraculous power. It is a force to be reckoned with, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just as it was in his day, it still is in our day today. The power to change lives. Amen. He was bold to preach the gospel because he was confident in what it could do. He was confident in its power. He was confident in its life-changing ability. Well, why? Well, first off, pretty easy to see. It had made a change in his life, hadn't it? Man, Paul, why are you so convinced of the power of the gospel? Because I believed on it. And it took a murdering unbeliever, hostile, angry, and it made a change in my life. Man, there was a miraculous change that took place. Man, do we still believe that today? I would be honest with you this morning as I was reading through some of these texts and I was reading through here in Romans, there was a time that I had to stop and say, Lord, convince us again of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I said us there, but let me just say it like I said it. Lord, convince me again of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. The power to change lives. Amen. The world really doesn't need to hear, come to the God and find purpose. They can find that in other places. But they do need to hear, come to Jesus Christ and be saved. I mean, we'll find salvation. Because ultimately that's what it's about, right? It is a powerful. He said it's the power of God unto salvation. Look what he says over in 1 Corinthians. Put a bookmark there in Romans because we're coming back, I believe. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Let's start with 18. 1 Corinthians 1. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, here it is, it is the power of God. It is the dunamis of God. It is the strength of God. It is the miracle working power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, Paul here to the Corinthian church, he's actually quoting from, or taking this from Isaiah. We must have been here before not long ago, because I wrote off to the side here Isaiah 29:14, but also Isaiah 33:18, as he was talking about where is the wise, where is the scribe, where is the disputer of this world. If you read the text there, the people that the prophet Isaiah were writing to, they were in disarray. They were in confusion. They were in fear because of a report that was coming their way. They were afraid because there were those that were saying, we're going to take down their city. We're going to destroy them. We're going to bring to naught the things that they've put their trust in, or they think that they put their confidence in. And the prophet speaks to them about this, and he says, referring to the deliverance of the people from the threatening invasion of Sennacherib. And the prophet says, listen, you've been listening to all these reports. You've been listening to all this bad news. You've been meditating on fear You've been meditating on terror. You've been listening to those that have been declared themselves wise. They've declared themselves as the teachers or the disputer of this world. The word there, taken in Isaiah, means the calculator or the one that was doing the measuring. It's almost a term of an accountant. They've accounted everything and just decided that the gospel just didn't have it. They've accounted, and so Isaiah says, where are they at now? God has brought it to naught. And I'll say to us this morning that when we think about the gospel message, there's a lot of people that says it's lost its power, it's lost its impact, it's lost its force. And we declare this morning that the gospel still changes lives. The gospel still has power. The gospel still has dynamite. And he says, because for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. Why? Because God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Doesn't make a lot of sense to the world for us to stand up here this morning and talk about a gospel about a man that lived, you know, 2,000 years ago and died. But you know what? There was a whole lot to that, wasn't it? Amen. He not only lived, but the Bible says he took on our infirmities. The Bible says he bore our sins, nailing them to the cross. I mean that he took man who knew no sin, took on sin that we might be made righteous. And that's the gospel. It's not enough just to talk about Jesus living. It's the fact that he bore our sins on the cross. He paid the price so that you and I might be saved. That's the gospel message of Jesus Christ. When we talk about, he says, but we preach Christ. We preach Jesus, he said. Unto the Jews it's a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. Amen. Christ is the power of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. Of God. This gospel message this morning has power. It has dynamite. The power of God is behind it. Amen. We talk about God being omnipotent, being all powerful. He's behind this message of the gospel. The power of God's behind this. Jesus says, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. That goes for 2022 as well, doesn't it? Man is powerless to change himself, or at least any, you know, real deep change, any heart change. What was it, Jeremiah, that talks about, you know, can an Ethiopian change his skin color? Can a leopard change his spots? Man, can we that are bent toward sin change ourselves? No. The answer, of course, to that is no. But the power of God can change us. The power of God is behind this gospel. The omnipotent God. You remember when Bildad came to Job and he was talking about the power of God or talking about the sovereignty of God. The holiness of God. Job 25 is where Bildad's speaking. But Job follows it up, and Job gives us a chapter in Job chapter number 26 in reference to the power of God. Listen to what Job says. I'll just start with verse 1 there of Job 26. But Job answered and said, how hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest thou the arm that hath no strength? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom, and how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? To whom hast thou uttered words, and whose spirit came from thee? And here he goes in this diatribe of the power of God. He says, dead things are formed from under the waters and the inhabitants thereof. Hail is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. He stretched out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. He holdeth back the face of his throne, and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He hath compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him. But the thundering of his power, who can understand? This is the power behind the gospel. Man, this is the power behind, as we this morning, as believers understand that when we declare the truth of the gospel, when someone believes on that truth and responds in faith, man, there is power behind it. Amen. James says it this way, by his own will begot he us with the word of truth this morning. I mean, we've been begotten by the word of truth. We've been born. If ever you see that word begotten, it speaks of birth, a new beginnings. It speaks about a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so there is strength in the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, for I am not ashamed. Go back, Romans. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation. Bringing about salvation. The power of God unto, leading to, bringing to salvation. Peter, in speaking about, I guess maybe sums it up as well as any text that we have, when he's talking about us being born, as he's being born again, he says, not of corruptible seed, right? Or something that decays, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. I'm reading here 1 Peter 1. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And then he says this, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth. Flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. God's word has the power to do what we cannot do. Paul, in talking to the believers there, what was it, in Corinth, I think it was, when he said, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration in the power of the gospel. In demonstration, preaching the cross. Know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. The power of the message of the cross. There's power behind it. Lord, open our eyes to the power of the gospel. It wasn't eloquent words that he came with. The world really doesn't need to hear. There's a lot of people out there. I mean, I'm amazed sometimes when I hear people talk. I hear I like to listen, you know, when given the opportunity with YouTube now, you can about hear any talk that's ever been given at any time that was ever recorded. You can pretty much find access to it. And so I'll hear somebody say something about something. I'll be like, oh, let me go back and listen to that. I can go back and listen to it. And there are so many people with eloquent words. And, I was listening to, I forget who it was. It was a talk between two men the other day. I think one of them might have been Jordan Peterson and some professor somewhere. And I was listening to it and I was like, I have no idea what y'all are saying. No clue. Now, I'm not saying what they're saying was wrong. I just had no idea. Because I didn't know half the words they were using. And the way they were putting them together was just like, and so when Paul came with the message of the gospel, I'm not trying to, you know, bring down anybody that has big words. I wish I talked a little better myself, but I'm not trying to do that this morning. But it's not, the big words won't do it for you. I remembered a statement that I think it was Chuck Swindoll said years ago, and I put it to memory. And he said, acute obfuscation is the promulgator of, it's been a long time since I quoted it, and I can't remember the last word, much confusion or something. Acute obfuscation. And he broke it down and he said, big words cause confusion. Paul says, I'm not coming with you with big words, but I'm coming to you preaching the cross of Jesus Christ. Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because he was convinced in what it could do in the lives of a believer, in the lives of someone that would come to God in faith, amen, receive that word, receive the engrafted word, and that word would begin to work and bring forth fruit in their life. He says, I'm not ashamed of it. It is the power of God unto salvation, unto our rescue. The second word. We're talking about the power. Now let's look at that salvation, rescue. God's power is revealed through salvation. The fact that God saves us. That we are saved from sin. We're saved from death. We're saved from judgment. We're saved from the wrath to come. We're saved from hell. And in that salvation, it brings about forgiveness. It brings about life in the Spirit of God. It brings about a resurrected life, our eternity. It is the power of God unto salvation. Now let's get specific here, because we wouldn't want someone leaving saying, "Okay, well, the whole world's been saved," because Paul makes a distinction, doesn't he? It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And there's that faith Corder was talking about earlier. Man, that it is mixed with faith. For whom does the power of God save? Those that believe. Amen. Those that believe this message. Salvation's power operates through faith. And that God moves in our life. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word. Paul talks about this much in Romans chapter 10. We don't have to get into the whole thing here this morning, but when he talks about the message going out, Romans 10, he says, look at verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't that the gospel? For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I think it's the second time we find that word here in Paul's letter to the Romans. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Later on in this text, he's saying, whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You're not going to be left disappointed. And the wonder-working, miracle-working power of Jesus Christ. I guess ultimately it's the Church of Jesus Christ. there should be a miraculous power working in our midst. Not so much just for healing, but in the power of the gospel to bring about a changed life, to bring about a new creation. When the apostles preached there, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, they weren't so much captivated by their words or captivated by their ability to speak, but they were amazed. As a matter of fact, the book of Acts says, I can't put my finger on the verse, and I don't think it's the exact same word, but it says they were confused. They were perplexed on what was taking place there because of these men. They were just regular men. They were just ignorant and unlearned men. But yet the crowd that had gathered there, you want a crowd gathering, then start seeing the power of God working in the lives of people. People show up and find out what's going on, won't they? Well, they were amazed by it. They were taken by it. They were confused on what was going on because this was the miracle working power of those that were receiving the gospel and believing. Still reading from Romans 10, Paul says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And then quoting from Isaiah the prophet, he says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. From there, Paul goes into talking about how that they had heard, that it had been declared. The gospel had been preached. The sound had went out through all the earth. Their words unto the ends of the world. And then talking about Israel have known the truth. They had heard the truth. But verse 20, Isaiah again says very boldly and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that not asked not after me. Amen. That the gospel had went into a people that weren't seeking him. The gospel had went into the people that had not asked after him. But according to Israel, verse 21, but to Israel, he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. But they would not believe. Man, they had to believe. And so Paul, back in Romans 1 again, he says, it is the power of God unto salvation to one, everyone that believeth. And then he says, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God. And there's our last word. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. Paul later talking about Abraham, believing what God had said, believing the promises of God. It says, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness, or it was accounted unto him. It was numbered unto him. As Corder was reading there from Hebrews 11, it talked about Abraham, when God told him to take his son, his only son, Isaac, and offer him up as a sacrifice. And Hebrews says it this way about Abraham. He immediately went and did it. And he says this, accounting that God was able to raise him up. Man, why? Because God had given Abraham a promise. In Isaac shall all the world be blessed. In thy seed. In Isaac is the promise. And so he believed God. God said, take your son and offer him up as a sacrifice. Well, if I do it, surely you're going to raise him up because you've already told me that's in Isaac. So he accounted God able. So I like this because I think about Abraham accounted God. It's the same word used there, imputed. So Abraham looked and knew that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. So Abraham accounted God. So you know what God did? He accounted Abraham. He imputed unto Abraham his righteousness. It was imputed unto him for righteousness' sake. Amen. You and I this morning, when we receive this gospel, when we receive this message, you know what we're doing there? We're surrendering our lives to Jesus, and we're accounting that God is able to wash our sins away. Amen. And that we can have confidence and an assurance this morning to know that our names are written in heaven. I had a discussion with a guy at work this past week, and every now and again, he'll just come out of the blue and ask me a question, you know, with regards to the Bible. He's a believer. He hadn't been working for as long. He came out the other day with that great one about Paul's thorn in the flesh. And he's like, what do you think the thorn in the flesh was? How many times you tried to answer that question? I've looked at it. I don't have an answer. And so he's like, well, I think it was his past. And I listened to him there, and I'm like, I said, okay, maybe. I said, I think, first off, if we needed to know, we would know. I said, but I got to tell you something about the Apostle Paul. He understood the power of the gospel. And he understood the power that God was able to forgive. And that he could stand up at the end of his days. Now, I love this because he didn't say, Lord, I hope I've done enough. I hope I've fought enough. I hope I've kept the faith enough. And I'm just going to roll the dice and I'm going to see how it ends. He didn't do that, did he? You know what Paul did when he stood at the end of the day there when he was talking to Timothy in the last book he wrote? He said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, I sure hope there's a crown of righteousness waiting for me. He spoke definitively. He spoke assuredly. He spoke with confidence. He said, there is a crown of righteousness waiting for me. I know in whom I have believed. I know that God has saved me. I know that my name is written in heaven. Amen. I'm assured of that. Amen. Why? Because I think it was, I was reading something this week. I think it was J.C. Ryle. And he said it. It was just a short little line. And buddy, I took it. It said, let's quit relying on our power to get us through. And let's rely on Jesus' power. Man. How much time do we spend praying, oh Lord, help me? But really what we ought to be saying, Lord, you work through me. Lord, your power working through me. Well, I'm arresting your power to save. I'm arresting your power to keep me from falling. I'm arresting your strength, Lord God, to get me through. And Lord, to help me to walk right before you. Lord, the power of your spirit working into my life. Not trying to, you know, generate my own strength and my own, but resting in what Christ has done. Amen. And what he's done on our behalf this morning. The gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm just thankful for today. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it. He was convinced of its power. He was convinced of its efficacy, its strength to save, its power to perform miracles. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Skipping down, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amen. The just shall live by faith. We're walking and believing this morning, knowing that our names are written in heaven. Man, God, give us that confidence this morning. God, let us share our testimony to the world. Lord, we're salt and light, God, but our greatest influence comes when we open our mouth and we begin to say, amen, because we've got a message for the world. And I know, you know, we want to we talk about our lives being the only Bible that someone reads. And I get that. But our lives aren't enough. They've got to hear the truth. Amen? They've got to hear the word. They've got to hear the gospel. So I get it. You know, your life might be the only Bible someone reads. But my life won't save them. Amen? They've got to hear the word. They've got to hear the gospel. They've got to hear that Roman road that you and I all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They got to hear about there was one that came and took on our sins. Amen. They've got to hear about that one that died on that cross, who was wounded for our transgressions, who was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisements of our peace are upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Amen. They got to hear about that resurrection. They got to hear about that empty tomb. See, he not only bore your sins this morning, amen, he not only paid that price, but God hath raised him from the dead. Amen. That God, that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can quicken our mortal bodies and make us alive forevermore. Amen. That's the message of the God. That's the gospel. That's the road. Amen. That we have peace with God. And when we talk about that peace, we're not just talking about, you know, you being able to sit in a chair and enjoy a good cup of coffee and say, I'm at peace. No, we're talking about the peace of God, to where we have peace with God. Amen? That enmity that was between us and God is no longer there, but it's been taken out of the way by his cross. Amen? That's the gospel. Amen. Let's go declare it to the world. When that door is open, amen, when there, as Paul prayed there, he says, pray for me that an effectual door of utterance will be open unto me, and that I will have boldness to speak, because I've got a lot of adversaries, he said. But you know what? I'm not ashamed, because I know God, the power that's behind the message. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, God, for the gospel. Thank you for the power to change our lives, Lord. We're all sitting here this morning, and we that have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ, we that have heard that word and have given our lives to you, Lord God. And Father, we're testimonies of ourselves, of the power of God. Maybe we weren't quite as wicked or bad as or the fruit of evil in our life like the Apostle Paul was. Lord, we were just as lost. God, we were just as undone. Father, you came into our lives, God, and you saved us. Lord, you rescued us. You are a God that rescues, God. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Lord God, we thank you for that salvation for each of us here today that have surrendered our lives to you. Father, we pray, Lord God, that we would declare this message to the world with boldness, and Father, that we would see fruit be brought forth in our, Lord, in our congregation, God, in our communities, where so many are hurting, so many, Lord, we could spend hours just praying for the needs of people. But God, their greatest need is that they would know you. Father, we just pray, Lord God, that we would declare that message to the world. God, we pray, Lord, that you would give the increase. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.